Tais Lama Gimel. What? No, it's up here over here. Thing. Look at Tais Lama Gimel. Chavetayv, because last year we got to Lama Beis, and the year before we got to whatever. It's a hamshach from years. Chavetayv heyei liyirei Hashem. Be a good friend, a chavetayv, to those who have yirish Hashem, yirish Shemayim. Okay. Hiskaber bechaver som. You should connect. Chiber chaver. In their units, in their chevra song, umi chevras poyli oven harchik, and stay away from the chevras poyli oven. Ve'ahoyv hamachichim, and love those who give you mussar. So now, we point out the fact that the Rosh connects together, puts together different ideas in one keta. That's obviously significant. If you look at Oysmem Hay, so he says, Samach Mashima Kotrechachas Kemoshi Shalarov. You should have simcha when someone gives you mussar as if you found a tremendous treasure. Give Techacha to a Kocham and he'll love you. He turned to Techachas Magula, Me'ava, Mr. Saris, Ulamachichim, Yenoyim. So, that's the ice we talked about Techacha, right? Giving Techacha, accepting Techacha. You need feedback, everybody needs feedback. It's a good thing. Feedback is a very positive thing. So that's already over there. Rosh Memhei. So the fact that he mentions it over here is even more significant because it's not just Tom. He put two things together, which we discussed that before. But it's not even necessary to write it over here because he's going to talk about it later on. So the fact that he puts it over here obviously is significant in his thought process. So we could suggest two understandings. Number one, he's suggesting that one of the reasons why you want to be a chavur to Yirei Hashem and spend time with them and not spend parley oven is because they're going to give you direction in life. They're going to give you techacha. Pshat in the pasuk of techacha. The Chazal, you know, darshan that there's a mitzvah of giving techacha, of giving a person rebuke. But the pashatayt in the pasuk, the way the Rambam learns, the Ramban learns, the Ramban in Chumash, the Rambam in Hilchos Deis, is that the flow of the pasuk, hachayach tochich hazam yisecho, b'lositzo lov chetz. So hachayach tochich, he says you should prove, lashon of hachacha, proof. He says, it's talking about a situation where you have a complaint against somebody, you're upset about something. So instead of maintaining it in your heart, don't maintain a complaint against the person, but rather discuss it with him. But discuss it with him in an intelligent way that you're giving your explanation why you feel that what he's done is wrong and what you've done is right. Instead of maintaining it in your heart, discuss it. That's the Pasha Taich and the Pasha. Both the Rambam learns like that and the Rambam learns like that in Chumash also. The Rambam takes it a step further and he says that the reason why this is a problem is because you're maintaining a tain of chait on the person. If you have the ability to eradicate any type of issue in your heart with him, it's a date. You don't have to. But if you don't feel that that's not true, so carrying it around the side of you and not discussing it is not the Torah saying it's the wrong thing to do. There's a mitzvah to say to try and correct it. You find many times when you discuss it with somebody, you realize that there's another side, another way of looking at it. You can discuss it through intelligently. You'll come up to some understanding. So that's the Pasha Taich in the Pasha. Come along, Chazal say that there's a mitzvah of, but taking it from the Pasha Pshat, it means to clarify to the person. The point isn't stop, just mussar him out, but it's to clarify to the person. There's something you're doing right, something you're doing wrong. Clarify it. To do that, it takes an interest to want to do that. Somebody truly cares about you, like the famous story about the two drunks. Moshe Leib Sassover said that he once learned true love from two drunks. So one drunk was saying to the other one, "Do you love me?" He says, "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." Finally, he says, "So tell me what's wrong with me." He says, "I know what's wrong with you." He says, "If you really love me, you tell me what's wrong with me. You know what's wrong with me." So how's it possible that I care about you and I don't see I care enough? I tell my Rebbe's lines. This is one that person walked into Beis Medrash and he walks up to the guys. He says, the lights on, you left the lights on in your car. I said, excuse me, it's none of your business. What are you doing telling people around what they have to do? Who do you think you are? Yeah. Nobody would say that. They said, thank you very much. I appreciate it. I don't want to kill my battery. Right? Okay, well, somebody says, excuse me, you dive a little too fast. Excuse me, who do you think you are? No. Like, what's the difference? The battery you care about, but the fact that that you're doing something improper, that doesn't bother you. It's illogical. That's something you should really appreciate the chokh in a tremendous way. But the person should be interested in doing it. The person should be, is because that the person, it's not comfortable, because the reality is most people don't say that. I'm not the general, most people, I don't know. Many people don't always respond positively to correction. So Tara says, you care? I'll tell you a story. I mentioned in the Shmuz recently, when I was a bachur, I was fairly shy. If you can believe that. Anyway, how did I launch my career? I was very shy. I happened to have an eye for tefillin, and this guest walks into the Beis Medrash and his tefillin are too low. So I need to, and I know how to correct the tefillin, and I was a bacher. I know how to change the cashier. So I should go over to him and tell him your tefillin's low. Offer to correct the cashier. On the other hand, I'd rather die a thousand deaths than walk over to the stranger and say, Shalom Aleichem, your tefillin are too low. It's a great way. It's a great opening line. You could finish up the rest of it. So I went. I said, listen, I'm embarrassed. I don't even mind doing this, but all I'm caring about is me. What about this other person? He's making brachos, but he's not making the mitzvah. So instead of just focusing on how uncomfortable I am, I should focus on the other person's needs. So I got to do it. The Russian wants me to do it. And then this went back and forth, like the whole davening, going back and forth. I'm going to do it. I can't do it. I'm going to do it. I can't do it. I'm going to do it. I can't do it. You're going to do it. Back and forth. And the davening went through. Shalom Aleichem. My name is Ali Rangel. Where are you from? Etc. Says, I noticed you're feeling too low. Would you like me to fix them? He says, oh, thank you so much. I'm telling you, if that person would have given me a strong line back, I'd never be here teaching as a Rebbe. That moment was like, I said, I can do it. I can walk over to somebody and help them, and the response was positive. The person, I'm telling you, the person's going to get Gan Eden, Lachar Meyav Esrim, he's going to get a lot of Gan Eden, the whole thing I've got in my life is because this guy was nice to me. He went home and says, he says, that guy in Yeshiva was a who knows what. But as long as he was nice to me, I don't care what he thought afterwards, as long as he was nice to me, So, but it took a thought process, which was stop thinking about myself, think about somebody else. So who's going to do that? So the people which have a goal in life, they have a direction in life, they have a purpose in life, they're focused outwards. They're focused on that, but there's responsibilities, there's what you have to do. Right. So eventually I got to the point in Yeshiva, there's somebody walking with the tone too low. They walk over and say, Ryan, I'll take care of it. Me, why don't you take care of it? No, it's your job, but it's my job. I wasn't hired by Yeshiva to do this, But it was the thought process of thinking out of the box. I'll give you one more along those lines. I had a Maisa once. So it tells Yeshiva, it was Rosh Hashanah, actually. No, it was in Kippur. Yes, in Kippur. So my seat where I sat was right near where the lobby, that you walk into the building. So as soon as you come, there's a large lobby, and then off to the right is the doors into the Beis Medrash. So my seat was basically straight in from where the lobby, and the doors to the lobby were open because they got a little bit more extra air. And it was Yom Kippur Chazaras Hashatz Musaf. So there's 500 plus people sitting in Beis Medrash, and it's totally silent during Chazaras Hashatz. Nobody talks, except for the singing part. It's totally quiet. A guy walks into the lobby, jingling his car keys. He's looking for he's looking for a yisker. Came a little bit late, but he's looking for a yisker. And he's looking around. So but he was loud enough that the whole base manager notices this guy hanging out in the lobby. Good. So I look at him and I say, you know what? Nobody's gonna walk over to this person. It's gonna be horrible. Somebody's gotta do it. So I said, I gotta do it. So I did it. In other words, I said, Shalom Aleichem, you know, can I help you? He says, I'm looking for a place in the Yisner. And the whole base matters heard it. Like real loud. And there's like 500 pairs of eyes staring at me like, Rangel, what are you talking about? Little Chazar Sashat? Like, what are you doing? Like, this dirty look. He was like, and I was like, I felt like Mamash. I wanted to get Chalish into the floor. But, you know, and I was like, trying to get him to be cool. And he was talking real loud. Like, you know, like, it was just like, shh. And he kept going at the full, you know, full decibel level, you know, continuing with the Chazan. So I explained to him it was a little bit too late, you know, etc. I was really conflicted because apparently he's going to pick up in the car and drive away. You know, if I would have said, you know, yeah, we're getting the Yisra soon, so he would have stayed. But the problem is, you know, it wasn't true. Who am I going to go right now? I'm going to ask my Rebbe. It's going to get, I mean, as it was ready, it's already a mess, you know, like to make it 10 times worse. I said, I'm sorry, it's already past the time. I'm not sure it's the right thing to do or not. But so I'll tell you my story. This Shabbos we were in Lake River Shabbos. So I went for my great nephew's bar mitzvah. So there was in the shul where we davened, there was a bar mitzvah, an ufruf, and a shara brachas. All they're taking place. So the kiddush was like, you know, when they had the speakers by the kiddush, they had the grandfather of the mitzvah boy and the grandfather of the chos. And you understand, it was a long Shabbos. Anyway, so the grandfather of the one of the chassanim, I don't know which one, said over a mice, we talk about the importance of small mice, and said over a mice, he says a fellow's living in Eretz Yisrael, he gets a ticket to go to a imitation on a ticket to a chassan in Sirach. Doesn't recognize the name. He's getting a ticket for the person sent him a ticket. He doesn't know who the person is. So he's trying to figure out, like, where did his name from? He can't place the name. So he calls up his chaver and learn the pardon, and she says, you recognize his name? He says, yeah, he learned by us with us in Yeshiva. He says, you got an invitation? No. You got an invitation? No. Okay, got an invitation. He doesn't know why he got an invitation. He got an invitation anyway, you shouldn't go, you know. So he travels to the chassan. The fellow picks him up by the airport. The father of the chassan picks him up at the airport. So they're talking. He says, you know, I'm really happy to come, but can you tell me why you sent me a ticket? Like, you were? He says, I'll tell you this. I came from Sirach many years ago to the new yeshiva. I was there for a week and nobody said a word to me. The person, they didn't notice me. And I was so broken by it, I decided I'm going back home. I was walking out of the yeshiva on the way to the travel agent to get a ticket. These are something called travel agents. Used to get tickets for you. And you walked over and you saw my jacket, the collar was twisted, and you fixed my collar. I should look like a mensch. And that touched me. And I said, you know what, I'll give it another try. I went back in. I stayed in yeshiva for 7 years. I'm a Ben Torah today because of that act that you did. That's why I have a curse of time, that's why I invited you to the chassan. So that's a side issue a little bit, but there's a nakuda that it's a person looking outwards to somebody else. Somebody says, so where are we going to first 7 days? Okay, I'm not going to get involved in that.